All right, so we're going to welcome up our next two speakers, and the topic for the next half an hour roughly is going to be on the FAST imaging in the pediatric trauma patient. So our first speaker, Dr. Eric Scaife, is from Utah, and he's a pediatric trauma surgeon, and he's going to take the side of anti-FAST, if you will, in pediatric trauma patients.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Eric Scaife. As remarked, I'm a pediatric surgeon at the University of Utah, and for the first 10 years of my career, I was a trauma medical director. So this morning, I want to tell you a story about the history of pediatric-focused assessment with sonography for trauma, or FAST, and my personal history of being seduced by FAST, and then my loss of faith. So for those of you that are not Gen Xers or trained after 2000, this instrument over here is called a diagnostic peritoneal lavage. Some of you have used them or seen them, and many of the younger folks probably have not. But of course, in a hemodynamically unstable patient, the purpose was to put a catheter into the abdomen and see whether or not the abdominal cavity was the source of blood. And if you drew back a whole bunch of blood, then you're going to the operating room. And when FAST came along, really in the 90s, Peggy Knudsen, many of you know her, she's a leading trauma surgeon at San Francisco General, came up with this quote that said, FAST is the most important advance in the evaluation of the unstable trauma patient over the past 30 years. And so it came about in the 90s, and it very quickly became very popular because it's portable, non-invasive. For those of you like me who have placed a DPL into the stomach or some other intra-abdominal organ, realize it's not risk-free. And the whole goal is to look for free fluid in the abdomen. Again, what you're trying to understand is whether or not there's blood in the abdomen that is the source for hemodynamic instability. And so by the late 90s, you see most trauma centers, adult trauma centers, had used this. This was a survey that we published in 2009. This is back in the day when you could actually get people to answer surveys. We had 80% of these trauma centers answer, and you can see only a fraction of truly pediatric trauma centers were using FAST at the time. And why is that? Well, here are the original studies that looked at FAST, and as I hope to explain to you this morning, in this conversation, these points have really not changed. And the real liability for pediatric FAST, there are two issues. One, as you heard from Dr. Sexton's discussion this morning, there are not that many hemodynamically unstable pediatric patients. There are very few patients that are in true hemorrhagic shock from an intra-abdominal injury. So even looking with a DPL is a rare event for a kid. And then the other problem is the sensitivity is really quite limited in the children with an abdominal injury. So here you see a significant liver injury, and that's an injury that's not going to be picked up on a FAST exam because there's no free fluid. So these were FAST that were done. This is at Columbus, and they were actually radiologists. And there's always this debate about who's doing the actual FAST exam. These are radiologists, sensitivity of 55%, followed up by the Cincinnati group, again, a group of radiologists with a sensitivity of 45%. Here you see a pancreatic injury right there somewhere. The pancreas is cracked in half in the midbody. It's not an injury that's going to be picked up with a FAST exam. So this is the liability of the FAST exam in pediatric trauma, because over a third of kids with an abdominal injury and a significant abdominal injury will have no free fluid. So that you're not looking for that cracked pancreas, you're not looking for the cracked liver, you're looking for free fluid, and those injury patterns are not going to be picked up with a FAST exam. So everybody's talking about this radiation risk, and I remember back early in my career, I came out as a trained adult trauma surgeon. We pant scanned everybody, and I was shocked when one of our radiologists in about 2001 said, we have to worry about these radiation issues in these kids. I was like, what are you talking about? And so many of you will recall there's a physicist at Columbia, David Brenner, who wrote a series of articles that looked at the Hiroshima and Nagasaki experience and then used mathematical modeling to try and understand what would be the cancer risk for a patient that was exposed to a CT scan, and this is back in about 2001. For a kid, they're more sensitive to the radiation. The thought was that these mathematical models would predict a 1 in 1,000. You heard of 1 in 300, another piece of information. Now, I would put forth to anybody here, if you were going to get a CT scan on your kid or grandkid or neighbor, and they told you, nobody fills out a consent form when you go get a CT scan, that your kid had a 1 in 1,000 risk of a fatal cancer, nobody, we'd shut down all our scanners, right? Well, this really rocked the world, and as a young pediatric surgeon, I thought, this is going to be the ticket for academic fame, right? We're going to look at the ultrasound and use it in a way to actually be smarter about the way we handle CTs, and it'll eliminate the DPL and eliminate the CTs. And then of course, there's all these other things that everybody wants to do with the ultrasound. Look for pneumothoraces and try and diagnose appendicitis in terms of point-of-care testing. So we put together this study at the University of Utah. It took us a few years, and we had structured training, prospective patient enrollment. We then surveyed the docs after and then looked to see how we were using FAST after the end of the study. And our hope was that we could decrease the CTs and find the injuries that mattered. So one of the things that I'm critical about FAST for surgeons is that I think most surgeons, it's going to be very different than what you hear from Dr. Miller, where it's part of his board certification. I think the ER docs are more and more sophisticated in terms of the use of FAST, but many surgeons or many surgery training programs, there's no real quality control, and it's a little bit sloppy. You know, you have the machine in the trauma bay, and you just go in and slap it on, and you think you know what you're doing. Our experience was that it took much more of an investment. So 16 months to train all the surgeons. We had 2-hour didactic sessions. We had models come in. We had to do 30 practice exams, and then we reviewed our sensitivity and specificity throughout the study. But I would challenge most trauma programs are not that rigorous in terms of the surgical participation. That story is not the same for the emergency room physicians. So this is the structure of our study. Kid comes into the trauma bay, you make a decision, are you going to get a CT scan or not? If you're going to get a CT scan, then we did the FAST, and then we asked after, theoretically, would you cancel the CT scan based upon the injury patterns in the FAST? And so, like many studies, it took a while to boil these down. There were a number of patients, 140, that had outside images or a known abdominal injury. They were eliminated. Out of 676 trauma activations, there were 180 potential abdominal trauma patients. Of those, 128 times we used the ultrasound, and 88 times we actually filled out all the forms and did the proper documentation to be enrolled in the study. And here you can see our sensitivities were really no more exciting than the original sensitivities that we saw out of Columbus and Cincinnati. And when we looked at our level of confidence, the place that we really struggled was with the pericardial view. And I can tell you, at our own institution, not during this study, we had somebody look at a kid who they thought he had a pericardial tamponade. They put a catheter in. That was not the source of the shock. The left anterior descending was severed, and the kid went on to have a CABG. So you have to be a little careful in terms of how you interpret these images, but this was one of the most interesting parts of the study when we asked the surgeons, would you cancel the CT scan after the FAST? The answer half the time was yes. Now, here's the problem. These are the canceled CTs, 4 false negatives. This is looking for injuries of significance, so we defined those as injuries that either required a blood transfusion or went to the operating room. 3 times they went to the operating room, those yellow indicate positive FAST, and they were picked up by both the CT scan and the FAST exam. But of the 5 blood transfusions, only one of them had a positive FAST exam. And here are the 4 cases where they had a blood transfusion and a negative FAST. One of those, the surgeon actually would have canceled the fast, which was a mesenteric vein laceration. When we interviewed our group and said, well, how was the fast helpful, the most common answer was reassurance. And so we actually looked back and said, this is sort of false reassurance. We're reassured by information that's misleading. And then when we went to see how, whether or not we had an enduring interest in the fast, which left the machine in the trauma bay, 6 months later, even though we were insisting on doing it during the study, you know, you could see nobody was really doing the study. So our conclusions from that study were that appropriate training requires a significant time commitment, the sensitivity remains limited, fast would have decreased our CT scan rate, but through false set of reassurance. And at the conclusion, we really didn't, as surgeons, maintain our interest in using the machine. Well, that's almost 10 years ago. And has that story changed? Well, two papers, one of the papers, there are several of the authors here in the room, came out in the past year, and guess what? The story hasn't changed. This is 14 level one trauma centers, sensitivity is 28%. All the significant injuries were really identified by CT scan. Half of the patients that needed an acute intervention were missed by FAST. In FAST, even though people were super excited about using the FAST exam in many of these programs, it didn't really impact the use of CT scans. And this comes from Nate Kupperman's group, and it was published in JAMA. Kids randomized to FAST or no FAST, and the FAST exam did not reduce the rate of CT scan or use of materials in the emergency room, and their conclusions were these findings do not support the routine use of FAST in kids. And so this, I asked one of our radiologists yesterday, because at the end of the day, gold standard is still CT scan, and had them look at our hospital, say, what are the current CT doses? And he went back and averaged over the past 10. This is from the Children's Hospital in Utah. And you see that the chest x-ray equivalents have gone down significantly, so the ALERA concepts are making a difference for kids. And so my personal feeling about the use of FAST is the hemodynamically stable, unstable patient is really rare in pediatrics, so you don't need a DPL. If you're in that situation, go to the operating room. And so you don't need a FAST exam for that. The FAST has limited sensitivity, and it's really hard to make sure that you're proficient unless you're going to be like Dr. Miller and it's used. But I think surgeons are not particularly sophisticated in that. And finally, it does not, I mean, our real goal, since we're not using it as a DPL, is to reduce the rate of CT scans, and the FAST exam doesn't seem to be doing that either. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Scaife. Now that you all are all